on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Good evening, everybody. We'll cut the Tijuana taxi a little short tonight. We've got a lot to get through. I hope you're all well under the conditions we're all existing under at the moment. And I'll tell you, I'm on my own here in the studio because nobody likes me. No, because last night we had a little Zoom meeting. Billy Herring sort of hosted a show within a show with several of our panelists who review the season so far and have a look at the events of the last week. So we'll be playing that in a little while. I've also been speaking today to Lee and Trevor. They've made their contributions and we'll hear them later on. But before we go any further with the show tonight, just want to wish Simon Feldman a recovery. We understand that the honorary member of the Supporters Club is in hospital and our thoughts with his family at the moment. Hopefully Simon will make a full recovery and be out. So get well soon, Simon's a message from all of us here at the Orient Hour. Now then, As you know, Orient got a late win against Morecambe on the weekend. And as we usually do, let's hear from our commentary duo of Dave Victor and Matt Hiscock to hear their view on that match.
Well, Matt, it's been a while since we've seen the O's in action, but it was worth the wait.
Well, it was in the end, wasn't it? 3 points, which is all that matters and propels the O's back into the playoff positions.
Overcame a well-organised Morecambe defence, and again it was patience, and again it was worth the wait. Tunji Akinola, it was an excellent cross.
Yeah, just got that little touch, didn't it? That little bit of luck the O's needed. They were very resolute, Morecambe, have to give them credit. Came here, got 10 men behind the ball, defended well, and you just felt it had to be something like that which was going to make a difference, and in the end that proved to be. But of course, Orient didn't sit on it. They went and got that second important goal, which tied it up.
And although Leighton Orient had most of the possession, it was Lawrence Vigouroux, the busy of the two goalkeepers.
Yeah, it was another good performance, wasn't it? Lawrence Vigouroux, a couple of occasions this afternoon, he had to watch a lot of the game being played in front of him, but when he was called upon, he came to the O-saviour. A really good save in the first half, taking the ball away from Mendes Gomez. But yeah, good performance yet again from Vigouroux.
Victory secured without Dan Johnson. It was Lee Angol playing in a central position that wrapped up the points in stoppage time.
Yeah, he'll be pleased to get his second of the season. Again, a player who's been in and out of the team, but again, looking to build some confidence. Interesting to see what the, of course, synopsis is of Danny Johnson's injury, and it might give Lee Angol a run of games, but he's got a goal, which will give his confidence some good.
Another clean sheet, another victory. The performance and results here at Brisbane Road, particularly in the league, are impressive.
Yeah, and Ross Embleton spoke at the start of the season, didn't he, about Brisbane Road becoming a fortress. And that's always going to be the case. If you are to be successful, you need to win your home games. You need to have a good home record. And at the moment, this is turning into a really difficult place to come for the opposition.
Leighton Orient, I understand, are now seventh in the table. Now, this is important because there are so many games being postponed because of COVID. There's no guarantee this season's going to end.
No, there isn't. You have to be prepared for everything. And at the moment, you do have to keep one eye on the points per games. And if it means that Orient just have enough to nick into the playoffs, it might be a shortcut. It might be a route to promotion. Who knows? We don't know what's ahead of us. So I think these games at the moment, the next few weeks, could be vital from the Orient perspective. Yes, there's teams around us that have got a few games in hand, but you just need to put points on the board today. It could have been a point, but in the end, it turned out to be three.
Another fixture's been rearranged. We've got a game on Saturday, despite the fact that it's the fourth round of the FA Cup. Forest Green's going to be tough.
Yeah, difficult game that one. Of course, seen them twice already this campaign. One victory for the O's in the opening of the season in the Cup, and then Forest Green midweek. Returned that result, didn't they, with a good performance, and they looked strong on that evening. It'll be a good test for the O's, no doubt about it.
Looking forward to it, and sure Matt is as well. Thanks.
Well, that's a good joke at the end there from Dave, having a giggle. Now we'll have to speed on here, and Dave, thanks very much for that. And let's hear from Billy Herring and crew from last night. Now, it's on a Zoom call, folks, so obviously there are some audio problems here and there, but it's not too bad, and hopefully you enjoy it. So here we go.
And then over to us, Andy. We are here with the panel now. So I'm Billy Herring, and I'm going to introduce everyone here. We've got Glenn Wilkie with us. Glenn, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Nice to hear everyone's voices, Bill.
Yeah. Steve Tom, how are you, Steve?
Hello, Bill. Very good. Thank you. Yes.
Excellent. Barry Lakin.
Yo, you're all right, Billy?
All good, all good. Barry Galvin.
How you doing, Bill? Right, it's good to hear everyone's voices, but not to see their faces.
We've got Darren Burrows here as well.
Hi, guys and girls. Good to speak to you and see you all.
And finally, and last but not certainly not least, Karen Harrison.
Hello, everybody. Nice to see you all.
OK, well, the only place to start is obviously a decent 2-0 win at the beginning on Saturday, should I say. So, first things first, the lineup for Saturday was as follows. We started off with Lawrence Figueroa in goal, James Brophy left-back with Sam Ling right-back, centre-halves Tunji Akinola, Dan Happy, Craig Clay, Joby McAnuff and Usise in the middle of the park, with Connor Wilkinson on the right, Rule Soteriou on the left, and Liang Goal replacing DJ up front. So, what did we think of the starting lineup first of all, especially Liang Goal moving to the central striker's position rather than playing on the left? Who wants to start us off then? Glenn, I'll go over to you to start us off.
Yeah, I didn't see that change actually happening before the game on Orient Live TV. I thought Rule was going to go straight up front as a straight replacement. I didn't even think about a possibility that he'd start on the left. So when they kicked off and I saw him on the left, I thought, OK, we've got a bigger target man up front to hold the ball up. Rule out on the left, he tried his hardest, but for me, he tried too hard. He loves the touch of the ball, and I just thought in the first half, there was times where he could have released the ball a lot quicker than what he did, and he took too many touches and sort of run up his own back tied a few times. So that was a bit frustrating, but I thought, as a change, I thought obviously it worked, didn't it? Because we won and Liang Goal scored the goal at the end. So,
Karen, what do you make of Rule's sort of form this season? Obviously, he struggled a little bit this year.
Yeah, well, he's struggling to get a start in place, isn't he? So it's difficult for him because he wants the consistency like everybody else does. So if he's, you know, if he gets a little run in the side, which he may well do now with DJ being out injured, he gets a little run in the side. Hopefully, it'll give him the confidence. He'll start showing rest what he can do.
Steve, do you think he might be a bit unfit?
I think he might have been a bit upset that, as Glenn said, and most of us were probably expecting that he would go through the middle, because obviously we've had this problem all season, really, haven't we? That Lee Angle and Rule both want to play through the middle. We know that. While DJ is there, neither of them are going to, and they've been mixed thoughts about how Lee had done the previous game. I you can be sympathetic because he's clearly not a wide left player and we're prepared to make allowances for that. So I would have thought that he would have been delighted to get that position through the middle. And by getting that late goal and by holding the ball up quite well, I think he's probably kept that position if, as expected, DJ is still out this week. Rule, I would have think, would be a bit disappointed. I agree with what Glenn says about sometimes he just doesn't get his head up. I suspect he was possibly trying a bit hard, Glenn, on Saturday and taking the people on and losing the ball, which just makes you even more frustrated. So a bit of sympathy for him, really, overall, but he hasn't taken his chance. And the way that young Dan Kemp came on in that position as a direct replacement and took his chance, you worry a little bit about Rule's prospects now.
Darren Burrows, what do you think of that? Obviously, Dan Kemp coming on did well when he arrived.
Yeah, I thought Kemp did change the game for us to the positive. And I think it's no small consideration, Billy, that we got the goals when the formation changed. Personally, with Rule, I think it might be in his interests, it might sound a bit controversial, to have a little loan spell in conference or something like that. Because I think it doesn't look match fit to me, if I'm honest. I really feel that he's a kind of player that think he needs to lose a few pounds, if I'm brutally honest. And I think he needs to get out there and prove himself, because he's got the ability, hasn't he?
He's certainly not looking as sharp as he did last year. See, at the end of last season, it seemed as though every time he played, he looked like he was going to score, whereas that's different this year, Glenn.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with Darren there. I don't think he looks sharp enough at the moment, and obviously he's not been playing games, so he's not going to be sharp. So when he does come in, I think he needs to build up to it, and he can't do it all himself like he was last year, where he would beat a man and do something a bit special. He's instantly trying to do that. But one thing I did notice, which I don't think you guys at home possibly would have seen on the cameras on Saturday, was when he got substituted, he was absolutely fuming. He came off on the far side. He had to walk all around the pitch. And I was sitting probably 30 foot from him in the stand when he went and sat in the stand. And he was absolutely livid. Which is understandable. You don't want anyone being happy when they come off the pitch. I think I personally, in the second half, I just don't think he got enough of the ball. So I was surprised by the substitution with him coming off. But obviously, with his game, the amount of game time he's had, and with the replacement on the bench in Kemp, it was the right thing to do, because the result proves that.
Barry Lakin, do you think he's unlucky? We'd like to still talk about rules. Do you think he's unlucky to be playing on the left-hand side? Or do you think he's a bit like, well, he's got to serve his apprenticeship, and, you know, you've got the older pros, the likes of Leanne Goal, and they deserve to play down the middle? You're going to have to unmute, Barry, otherwise we're not going to hear you.
It's one of those things, really, Bill. You know, you've got to earn your stripes. If you're a forward player, right, and your preferred position is in the middle, but you've got to play on the left or you've got to play on the right, if you get that opportunity, you just got to take it. And when I say take it, I always got told this from a very young age: run around. No, it sounds so stupid, right? I coach kids now, my son's team, which are under eights, right? We're under fives. And everyone goes, God, he's a good player. I go, why is that then? Well, he runs around a lot. Well, when you take that into the professional game, everybody goes, God, isn't he a good player? He runs around a lot. You know, it's one of those things that can really be an eye catcher. You know, run around a lot, get on the ball, make runs, you know, make yourself available. Don't sulk. Just run around a lot. And it sounds, you know, when I was coaching, you know, Roar around was my thing. And we used to say this to our players in when I was at Haybridge and Billericay, etc. But when I look back now on my career, and even if you run around, the fans appreciate it. They respect it. You might not have the best touch. You might not have the best finish. But if you run around and you get about the pitch, then you will get recognition for that. And that goes from the highest level, you know. Examples: Robbie Savage runs around a lot, upsets people. Right, so let's bring it down to League Two. He's got an opportunity. There's your opportunity. You want to be a forward, okay? Right now, play on the left. Show me your attitude. Run around, yeah. And the manager will definitely be having that conversation. Just get out there and show me.
Ben, coming across to you.
That run around. So if we got Sir Mo Farah in an ocean, would that work?
Yeah, it definitely works. Because I know Mo, right? He will definitely run around. Yeah? we just keep him running around. Yes. Yeah, next.
Darren Burrows, go on.
I think he might look more, a bit more like Lily Savage than Robbie Savage. If,
so if we can get an amalgamation of Robbie Savage and Mo Farah, we've got a starting left midfield player, winger at the O's. What about Brophy?
Karen, what do you make of Brophy playing left back then? Obviously, we'll move away from rule now. We'll look at Brophy and sort of going back to the left back position. Obviously, we know it's a subject of conjecture, shall we say, amongst Orient fans. What do you make of it?
Well, personally, I prefer him as left midfield because I like it when he goes, or left wing, because I like it when he goes, you know, with his pace and he goes starts attacking and that. But you can see why he goes to left back because he, you know, he covers the position well and he does, you know, he does do well in that position. So it's a, yeah, it's a difficult call, isn't it? Joe Widdowson is not playing, is he? Because Brophy's keeping him out. So, yeah, no, I think he's doing well left back.
Steve,
but I'd like to see him going forward. So, sorry.
Sorry, Karen. Steve, do you see Brophy as the number one left back now?
Well, I think Ross does, which is the most important thing, isn't it? You mentioned Joe Widdowson there. How does he feel at the moment? I think the majority of supporters have preferred Brophy getting forward. But again, from what we saw from young Kemp, he's definitely that sort of position. If he's been doing as well in training this week as we saw in his brief spell, you wonder if he's a starter. And that would certainly fit in with Ross's idea that he's clearly perfectly happy with Brophy at left back.
Barry Galvin?
I think it's all about the partnership that he's got with the person ahead of him. So he plays very well at left back. If he gets forward and the person that is playing ahead of him drops back into position, then obviously it works. He's very good. When he sees that gap, he cuts inside and he drives in field. If the person playing ahead of him is watching and drops in, it works perfectly. I like him playing now. When that happens, if someone in front of him is not in tune with him, it becomes a mess because you leave spaces behind you.
Very a la Matt Lockwood and Joe Keith. Obviously, you know, yeah. Lockwood was a really attacking left back, but Joe Keith didn't mind sitting in when Lockie overlapped. And
when you see him go, that's right, you drop in, you have that understanding, and that's where, a settled team, two players that work well together, that's where it helps.
Yeah, I mean, it is all about partnerships, as you say. I mean, Darren, do you think that potentially, you know, if we're looking at partnership on that left-hand side, Brophy as a left-back, do we think that maybe Kemp or Soteria is the way forward then?
I think Kemp, we've got to find that out, haven't we? I don't think Royal at the moment is for the reasons I said earlier. I think it's one of those, really, with the left-back situation with Brophy. It's great when it works and we win and everyone gives him dog's abuse, not him, but gives the manager when we don't.
Yeah.
I know it's pretty well documented he would prefer to play in the centre, but he also, I admire professionalism. I don't think he's a lad who sulks. I think he gets on with it. He might go and have a chat with Ross and have his say, but I think he then goes out and plays the right way, in the right spirit. So, and the results speak. Results say everything, don't they? So,
yeah.
But do I think he can work? To answer your question, Billy, yeah, I think we've got to see that partnership develop over a little bit of time with Kemp, but not Rule, to answer your question.
Fair enough, Karen.
Yeah, but I was just going to say that, you know, if he's one of the guys that, as I suspect, his contract's up at the end of the season, if it's a case of have a contract at left-back or nothing as a left-wing, you take the left-back contract, wouldn't you? So, fingers crossed, he'll be in that position this time next season.
I do like players that can play multiple positions, especially when you're in a lower league club who, obviously, isn't going to have the biggest squad. Barry Lakin, coming across to you.
You know, the point is that, you know, Leighton Orient literally do play a lot of the ball passing way. And I think we get to a point where, especially Saturday, and with so much possession, if you've just got a standard left back there who's a head it, kick it, tackle, be wasted. So on that front, you're looking at going, you've got a really, really attacking left-sided player. And it's almost like playing two defenders, which are the two centre-halves, and everyone else was attacking. And yeah, they had their opportunities on the counter-attack. That's all they brought to the game, Morecambe, was we're just going to hope that we don't concede early on. And the longer the game goes on, the more it gets frustrating. So when you've got Brophy as an overlapping, attacking fullback, you're thinking, well, hold on a minute. That's not too bad, is it? You can have a... He's quite direct, isn't he, Brophy?
Yeah.
Then if you've got another left winger who's a bit jinky, you know, it just doubles the ammunition. Would it work every week? I don't think so, because there's going to be times when Orient need to park the bus. You know, that's the whole beauty of football, isn't it? You skin a cat many ways. And on Saturday, Morecambe come to park the bus, frustrate us, and we looked, you know, we passed the ball nicely around the pitch, and
It was a very, very pleasant win for me because I watch Premier League games as well. And if Burnley do it, you know, all the top six Spurs do it, park the bus and get praised for winning 2-0 away or whatever. So why can't Morecambe do it? And then let football was the winner Saturday. Orient attacked and attacked and attacked. And I was really happy at the end of the 90 minutes.
What I like about Brophy is the fact that he can start an attack from deep. He doesn't have to be on the edge of the 18-yard box. Brophy can start an attack from the edge of our 18-yard box because he's so fast and he does drive so directly. So, and he can turn the game in that way. Barry Galvin, coming across to you.
I was just saying, Barry just said about the amount of possession we had. Have any of you guys ever seen a 45 minutes at Brisbane Road where we had so much of the ball? I think we had about 80% of the ball. It was unbelievable. Yeah, it was like we were Barcelona. Their striker was 10 yards inside of his own half.
Yeah, and the first thing I did at half time was text my mates and say, I've never seen us have so much possession. Put your mortgages on a 1-0, like win to the opposition sort of thing.
So, and they did.
Yeah, Steve Tung.
We hadn't had. I was being a bit nerdish last season and kept all those statistics. At no game last season, the whole of last season, did we get to 70%. And we ended up Saturday with, 75, 77. It was quite remarkable. But what was interesting, of course, you know, people make the same old point about possession and passes. What are you doing with it? And I think it was Glenn said at half-time that we needed to be a little bit quicker with it because sometimes that wasn't happening. I mean, I'm all in favour of keeping the ball and so on, but even I groan occasionally when Sam Ling pushes it back to the right-sided central defender, Joshua Tunji, who give it to Dan Happy, who gives it to the left back. And if he can't go forward, it comes back to Dan and we go along the back four again. There's patience and there's, you know, looking for a bit of penetration. And Glenn, I think that was what you were talking about at half-time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was frustrating. I thought, like all supporters watching it, it was nice at times, but it was boring. It was very boring. It was going side to side, side to side. It went forward, it came back, it went side to side. It was too pedestrian-like, it was too slow. And a couple of half chances we got in the half came when we were being a bit quicker with the ball, passing it forward a lot quicker than what we had most of the game. And the second half, we tried that, we didn't keep the ball as well, I don't think, as the first half. I think they got in the game a bit more. But it was, and that's the case. And I could hear Ross Semmelman screaming. He was on the balcony above me. And I could hear him screaming, keep the ball, keep the ball. So there's something they want to do, which is great. But when they start moving up the pitch and you hear them shouting as well, faster, faster. So they are telling the players to do that. But obviously, the players are not doing that. I think a lot of it is players don't want to be blamed for making a mistake or giving the ball away. I think a lot of it is that with the younger players in the side, they're happy to just say, I'm not going to give the ball away here. I'm going to keep the ball and pass it on. You get the ball to somebody like Joby or Connor Wilkinson, who's got a bit about them, and then they know it comes down to them because they're the ones who can spark a bit of life into an attack or do something a little bit different.
Wilkes, just come in there. You've hit the nail on the head. It is so brave. When you've got loads of possession and you're playing, it is so brave to make that killer pass or to try to break it up because you know that if you're the one that lets it down, there'll be that, even though there's no crowd there, you know, that you are the one that goes, we broke it down, now we've got to win it back again. So I think it's a massive credit again for the boys to keep, who kept on going. And you're right, the manager, Ross, will shout out, keep it, but it takes that brave person on the pitch. I mean, I think you get a genuine instinct to try it because it's a fine line again. Who's going to make that pass? Who's going to do that?
Darren Burrows, coming over to you.
Yeah, I think picking up on what Glenn and Barry's saying, it's the modern way, isn't it? We see this now. We see this play it out the back. We see it pass it around the back. I don't want to talk about other teams, but Newcastle last night. No one had any ball. And the coach...
Just bring it up forward to Carroll. Just bring it forward to Carroll, get on the second pieces and have a shot.
And they lost 3-0. You know, and that's the thing. And I watched them do it. They were passing it back. No one seemed to want to take some responsibility. So you're both bang on. You're both right, in my opinion. We're all watching a lot of football and we're all seeing it across the Premier League down to our league. And you're right, what it is, what Glenn said, you've got to get it out to the likes of Wilkinson, who can.
Wilkie can't, he's not a winger.
I was just over the touchline.
Good point. And just get it out to those players. Get it to the Brophys, get it to the Wilkinsons, get it out to those lads who can turn and run and play those passes. So I can't be too hard on the Sam Lings and the Akinolas and the Dan Hatch, because that's what they're being told to do. And they're being coached that way, as I think the whole of the football fraternity is now.
Glenn?
With what we've just discussed, I think it's really key, the two players we've brought in the last week, Freeman and Kemp, they're another two exciting players who have got that bit extra, you know, like we've just said, Wilkinson and McEnough. I think these two guys add to that. So there's additional players there who you say you give them the ball and they can create something special.
You've just perfectly segued into the next section for me, Glenn, so we'll go for that. So, yes, absolutely. So we've just, so obviously, after the game, fantastic 2-0 win, and then the Orient announced that we signed Nick Freeman from Wickham, who's played over 100 games for Wickham, helped them get promoted from League 2 and from League 1 into the Championship, and obviously has found himself sidelined this particular season. So Orient have signed him, and we believe he's a creative midfield player, someone who's going to offer us a bit of dynamism. So, Steve Tong, coming over to you, what do you make of the signing of Nick Freeman?
Well, it was interesting that Ross said, just talk about two midfielders, that they're different types of players. I think he called Nick Freeman a number eight, didn't he? Which is the coach's idea these days of that player in the Joby McEnough, Craig Clay role, behind the front three, but ahead of, say, Cisse. It sounds as though he's not a goal scorer. You said 100-odd games. I think only 5 or 6 goals in that. He's not a big scorer, despite the clip that they put out of him getting that goal at Wickham. But no, we like the sound of him. The thing I like about all our signings is we seem to have done a lot of homework on them. I mean, in extreme... Ross saying that he's known about Dan Kemp since he was 9 years old. If you think about it, it was Justin who, if you remember, who tried to sign Danny Johnson when he understandably took the chance to go to the Scottish Premiership instead. I think we tried to get Connor Wilkinson a bit earlier, but Jay Simpson came back for that second half of the season instead. So even the goalkeeper Ross had known from Swindon. So we're not just picking these people out of FIFA or Championship Manager or somewhere. We're doing the homework. And I like the fact that Ross always emphasises the character as well. They seem to be good characters they're bringing in. So, yes, I think Nick Freeman is going to challenge or to be a possible replacement for Joby when he needs a rest, alongside Craig Clay, maybe in one of those three in midfield, and that we'll probably see, although I suspect Dan Kemp could probably play there too, I think we'll probably see him out wider.
See, that's an interesting debate. Glenn and I, we were talking about that via WhatsApp, weren't we, with regards to where do we play Freeman? I mean, from the clips I've seen of him, Cliff Freeman reminds me a little bit of Liam Kelly, who I thought was an excellent signing for us, and I was gutted that he left. And it's of those three that are playing there at the moment, you've got Cisse, Clay and McEnough. Is it that Freeman's coming in to give McEnough a breather? But to me, McEnough doesn't look like he needs a breather. Or is it that, potentially Cisse drops to the bench and Craig Clay moves into the holding role in midfield? Or does Freeman come in directly for Clay or McEnough and Cisse holds his position? Barry Lakin, what do we think?
Yeah, the point is that the signings we've got, and bear in mind that, we've all got a platform on Twitter, etc., or Facebook, and people were saying about the squad is a national championship squad that's come up and da-da. You think of the players that we've now moved on, which is football, and the players we've now got on. you know, you've got a lad, Freeman, who has won promotion from League One to the Championship, and he's struggling to get a game. Is he good enough for League Two? 100%. He's going to. The big question is going to be: is can he gel with the players? If he does, we have got an amazing signing right there. The young lad from West Ham. You know what I see is that everyone is judging and jumping on Ross and the fact of, oh, you know, we've got a dated squad. Wow. Have a look at those signings right there. We're not breaking the bank like a Salford. You know, fair enough what they're doing. We know what they're doing. That's fair enough. We know what we're doing. You know, we are the family club of London, the East End. Those two signings for me were brilliant markers. We've got a young lad who they've identified to come in and needs games. And we've got a stalwart centre midfield player, or can play. I don't know. By the way, what is a centre midfield player these days? Because it used to be 4-4-2, and now 4-3-3, where he can play right, left, middle. But you know, he seems to be. You know, he's got the experience. You know, if he comes in and doesn't do well, there's a problem right there, isn't there? Because he's got the experience.
Which seems to be the classic box-to-box midfielder is the way you possibly describe it. So really? Get those clichés in. Darren, go on.
Come on, mate. Come on.
Darren, over to you.
Yeah, no, just briefly, and also Kemp's had, I think, 18 games in midfield for Blackpool in League One this season. Yep, so yep. It's still echoing what Barry's saying, really, that you know, these are good signings. There can't be a single Orient fan listening to this and following the club who can't be impressed with those signings. It's a testament to the club. You know, fair play.
Karen, what do you reckon about future signings? Where would you make extra signings and in the transfer window?
We need new defenders, don't we? Well, I say left back. We were talking about Brophy earlier, but we need someone there that was cover. So, you know, because you've got to have, as much as it's nice to have people in certain positions, the whole idea, I think, of Orient and the squad is that you have people that can cover other positions too. So you need someone that's a, you know, a good left back, but maybe even centre-half. You know, you don't know. You've got the fairly young Hap and Akinola playing in there at the moment. But, you know, what happens if one of them gets injured? You're going to bring back Coulson, or are you going to go out and have a look in the market? I think you're probably going to look in the market, to be honest.
Yeah, Barry Galvin?
I think there's only one position I'd look at, and that is centre-back, because Sunji Akinola has been playing, he's been fantastic, but he bought in as a right-back.
Would you try to get him on a permanent deal?
I'd love to. I mean, I thought when I heard Dan Kemp was joining, I thought it was going to be the same thing. He'd come on a loan deal, so I was delighted it was a permanent deal. But Sunji was bought in as a right-back for cover. Now Miles has gone out, was cover for Sam Ling. So he's covering in the middle, if you like, either for Josh or for and Joe's not a natural centre-back, so I think centre-back's the only other area where we need cover.
Yeah, Steve Tom?
Depending on Jamie Turley and what's happening with Jamie.
Sure. Steve?
Yes, I was just going to mention, Jamie, I mean, centre-half is the other position that Martin Ling has constantly mentioned, hasn't he? I mean, even before Christmas, they were saying probably looking at a central defender and a midfield player. As it happens, we've lost two midfield players. We might talk about JMD in a minute, and Josh Wright has gone, and we seem to have replaced them position for position, which is good. Of the others who might leave, I mean, has Jamie Turley got much of a future now? He's not getting games. You would imagine he's a bit fed up. He appears to have been fit. Difficult even to get on the bench. So, and if he went, you would think they would be looking at one more central defender. Although with Tunji doing so well, and Coulson and Happy, and you could again be looking at Josh Widdowson as a centre half again, which I didn't like that much, but you could still say you've got the four in there. The other general thing about the ins and outs, we can't forget this budget and salary cap. We talked about it a good bit last week on the show, but losing £600,000 off the wage bill for 20 or 21 players, that's an average of £30,000 a player.
Yeah.
And so all these deals, you've got to look at who's going out, who's coming in. It may not even be that if you shift a couple more out, It may not even be that you bring more in, because you're going to be looking more and more, as we heard, at under 21 players who don't count towards the salary cap. Not easy at all. And that's something they've got to be constantly bearing in mind.
On that note, with regards to the under-21s, we mentioned the left-back position. Do we think that they are looking at Jaden Sweeney and Shadrack Ogie and those in that left-back position and thinking, can we hold out for a season more and then those lads are going to start to come through? What do we think about that, Barry Lakin?
No, just following what Steve said, when you think about all the figures and all the juggling, now, that's not down to the manager. That's down to the owners and the people in charge there. So when you weigh up like that, the people that we've removed and got back in, I just think it's a brilliant position we're in. I'm always positive anyway, so I think we're going up. But, I just think what Steve, you're brilliant there, and that's me done for that bit.
So we're going to talk about our favourite players of this season, 2020-2021. It's been a strange season, as we know, with no fans in. And for some players, that's suited them. Some players, it hasn't. So if we go to the panel, and would like to discuss your favourite players, a player, stroke players of this season. What do you think? Maybe Darren?
I'm struggling to look beyond two, and that's Craig Clay and DJ. Very much, I think we get Clay in the team when he's fit, and I think the role he plays, he has to be completely fit because it's a strenuous role. I think it's the hardest working role in the side. So I think Craig Clay for me, followed by DJ, because you can't ignore 17 goals so far in this season. So yeah, those are my pick.
Can you ignore 17 goals, Glenn?
if we're talking about my favourite player, or players of this season so far, mine personally, I'll give you my top three. I'd have Lawrence Figueroa, number one.
Yeah.
I'd have Connor Wilkinson, number two. And I'd have Joby McEnough, number three. Controversial, no DJ, I know. But I just feel, I look at them players over the games. Lawrence has been phenomenal. I know he's kept a lot of clean sheets, and that's partly down to the defence he's had in front of him, but he has really saved a lot of points, or given away a lot of points. I think I look at Connor Wilkinson, and I think what he adds to the team over DJ, yes, DJ scores goals, but I think with DJ out the side, I think Connor Wilkinson would be a bigger miss, because he's such a threat. And the reason I say that is, look at all the other teams who play against us over the last 4 weeks since he's been banging form. Everyone's doubling up on him. Southend tried to treble up on him, to cut the threat out to DJ. DJ is a remarkable goal scorer, instinct finisher. He was fantastic against Harrogate, but they played into his hands. They played such a high line, and it allowed us to get the balls in behind, and he could run on and he scored goals. What I don't like about DJ is when he has time to think. When he has too much time to think, i.e. penalties, when he's got, I just said, alluded to when he goes through against Harrogate. When he went through against Harrogate, he's taken one touch and shot. When he's dribbling and he's clean through on a one-on-one and he has to think about it, for me, that's not his game. He's all about foxing in the box, knocking them in one touch, having a swivel shooting instinct like he did against Salford. I think he's brilliant at that. But I think Connor Wilkinson has been more influential over that team this season, as has Joby been since he came back. He was obviously, before Christmas, he had games where he was rested and stuff. But he's come in and the team, he drives the team on.
Okay, Billy, do you agree with Glenn's point?
How can you not have DJ in your top three? Look, there's been a lot of good performers this season, hence why we are where we are in the league. Okay, all right. But how you can't, I mean, Danny Johnson, not only is he a fox in the box, right? Absolutely that. That's why we signed him. But he's a fox in the box that's having to play like Peter Crouch up front on his own, right? He's got the strength of a ball. Yeah, for a little bloke, you play the ball up to him, it sticks. right? He's the best at the club at the moment with his back to goal, bar none. Bar none. The ball goes up to him and it sticks. Go on, mate.
Sorry. He was agent.
Honestly, right.
Well, he wishes.
I'm not, because I don't want him to go anywhere. And I think that we need to get him tied down to another contract. And obviously, we were talking about this before. Obviously, it'll be a real shame to see him go at the end of the season for nothing. So, you know, we do need to get him tied down to another contract. But he scored 17 goals playing up front on his own. Imagine how many goals he'd score if he had a partner in crime. Someone to take the heavy lifting for him. Go on, Glenn, back
so
to
is
you.
Is your favourite player, Billy, or are you going for another couple? Or is that your one? You're just going to go for DJ, yeah?
I mean, I think overall, McAnuff is probably the most influential player in the side. When he's not playing, we do miss him. I mean, whether we now have Freeman coming in who might well take that mantle to ease a bit of the pressure on Joby. But I think that the amount of games that have turned on a Danny Johnson moment of magic where he's scored a goal out of nowhere. I'm not one who remembers all the games after they've gone sort of thing. I think, oh, we've won that game. I forget about it. Who was it he scored against the other day on the edge of the 18-yard box? Well, the game was really stale and targeted. Boom, edge of the 18-yard box, whack. You know.
The goal against Salford, Billy.
Salford.
Does not belong in League Two.
Right.
You will
absolutely.
Not see a goal like that in League Two very, very often. You can watch League Two football for 10 seasons and not see a better finish than that.
Did you want to come in, Glenn?
Yeah, I was going to say the better finish was his one against Harrogate, but there you go. I just think he is a great finisher. I think, like you said, Billy, playing up front with somebody else would allow him to get more chances. I also believe that we're not playing to his strengths. He's fitted into a system and he's done really well. Me personally, and I don't know this, I look at him and I think he doesn't enjoy playing up front on his own because the amount of grief he gets from centre-halves, remember, he's playing against two men there, he gets battered and he's always complaining about getting fouled and everything else. He's not enjoying that. His game is all about being in the box. You go back to a 4-4-2 and old-school football, as we call it, balls getting fired in the box, you know, and there's a ricochet or whatever. That's where he comes alive. And that's where he scored 17 goals. And he has been brilliant. And by the way, I had a bet on him at 50-1 at the beginning of the season to be top goal scorer in the league. So I do like him.
Well done, Glenn.
Glad that Watson's gone to Crawley then.
can we go to Steve for his favourite players? I'm going to say, Steve, you're the man with the stats. How many do you know? I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here. Do you know how many points that we have gained because of Danny Johnson? In other words, where we'd be if it weren't for his goals? I'm sure someone's worked it out.
We'd be very miserable is the answer. And we should of course, credit Connor as well with those 10 goals. As for a best player or favourite player, I assume everybody was going to say Danny and Joby and maybe Wilco. So I thought I'd be highly original and I've ended up saying the same thing as Glenn, which is that I think Lawrence Vigourou is underrated. Those last couple of clean sheets as well. What there's been about one howler, was it? Was it the cup game against Newport where he gave the goal away? Other than that, very, very solid, good shot stopper, capable of some amazing. If you remember one or two of those, when he hits those flat clearances down either wing, the one criticism I've heard of him all the time is his kicking is not great. I think what people may be ignoring is the fact that every time he gets the ball for a kick, he's got one person to aim at, which is Connor, because we've got no height up the front. There's no point banging the ball up the middle to Danny. And Connor stands right on that touchline, which drives me a little bit mad. And if the kick is just very slightly misguided, it's going to sail into touch. So I think the goalkeeper's been terrific. Was one of those great signings from last January. Is he the best in the division? I watched Newport. Is it Tom King at Newport was playing in the cup against Brighton? Had a fantastic game. He must be very close. But Lawrence Vigourou is very close to being one of the top goalkeepers in League Two, and is certainly ready for League One.
Well, thanks, folks. So Barry, your favourite players? I don't think we've got that much time left.
Yeah, very briefly, just due to the fact that I had a conversation with him, and it's very difficult sometimes. We see these professional football players, whether they're Premier League, League Championship, League One, League Two, and we there's no connection anymore. And when me and Glenn had this conversation with Connor Wilkinson, and actually I felt like really moved in the fact of like he actually cares.
And
as we get old, I've been there, 19, 20, 21. You just think, well, whatever. But he actually really cares about Leyton Orient. And I just think, for me, he's my favourite player.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you on that, actually. He's my favourite player. I think Joby, obviously, for what he's done with the club and the way he plays, and his whole manner, his whole persona is amazing. But pure talent-wise, I think Connor Wilkinson is our most talented player. Let's put it that way. Karen, your opinion?
Barry Lakin's got a man crush on Connor.
You two are choking me up here. I'm starting to get a bit teary.
Well, I wouldn't say I've got a lady crush on him.
I've got four kids. I'm happy to have a man crush on a 24-year-old football player. Is that right?
Looking 24-year-old football player. Karen, your opinions?
My player of the season is Craig Clay. I just think when he's on his game, there's just no way you can drop him. But he's a bit hit and miss at times. You know, he gets a bit moody and a bit like Connor Wilkinson as well. I like him as well. And he's another one, you know, if they start getting at him, he can lose it quite quickly and then he can go on the turn of a coin. And it's just, you know, it's just they've just got to manage their temperaments, really. But no, I would say I like Craig Clay, Connor Wilkinson, and always vote for your man of the match at LOFC supporters on Twitter after a game.
Good plug. Back over to you, Bill.
Yeah, one thing I will say about Craig Clay, as much as he's one of those players that you need in every team, it doesn't matter if he's having a good game and a bad game or an indifferent game, he'll never hide, you know? And that's a great thing to have in any promotion team. Every single team that's ever gone up needs a player like that, that even if they're having a terrible game, will drive and will keep on showing for the ball and will keep on winning that ball back, you know?
It's because he runs around.
But I do think his temperament from last season has got a lot better.
Again, there we go. Did the AJ Shops, yeah? Zidane said water carriers, right? So water carriers are winners.
There you go. Water carriers are winners. That's the new saying from Barry Lakin right there. All right, thoughts just quickly moving on to the game on Saturday then. What do we think? Steve Tong, coming to you first.
Well, Forest Green don't score many goals, not score as many as us, but they don't concede. Two away games this season in which I don't think we've excelled. Ross said we were a bit unlucky in the league game, the 2-1, but I'm not sure about that. Remember, we got the equaliser just before half-time. I think we've been pretty patchy in those two games. In fact, after the first, you remember Forest Green in the League Cup was the very first game of the season. And I remember messaging some friends at half time when we were one down and looking woeful and saying it's going to be a very long season. So fortunately, we improved from that. In fact, made that dramatic improvement and got to the two very quick goals. But no, I think they're going to be tough. Last season, of course, that was 3-0 down at half time, wasn't it, at home till we came back. So DJ sounds as though unlikely to be fit, and we've not heard anything more positive than that. So it's going to be a very tough one. Unusually, of course, very unusual to get a full successive home game. So if we are really making the place into a fortress, there's that to go back on. But I'm not over-optimistic.
Barry Galvin, over to you. Are you more optimistic?
I'm slightly more optimistic than that. I know we're short on time. So I'm going to go 1-1. That's me, 1-1.
1-1. Okay, Darren Burrows?
Yeah, I'm with 1-1. Yeah.
1-1. Karen?
I'm going to go for Desmond, I think.
Ooh, little 2-2 in there. Little Desmond 2-2. Glenn Wilkie?
I'm going to wear my lucky socks that I've worn for the last three games at home. So I'll wear them again. We'll win 2-1.
You've got to wash them, Glenn. You know that, right?
I've told the missus not to. Red polka dot, say her.
Nice. Don't flash them on the Orient Joe beforehand, will you? Barry Lakin.
Yeah, 3-1 O's all day.
3-1 to the O's. All right, one last question then before we go. Do we think that we would change the team at all from Saturday? Would anyone change the starting lineup? Glenn Wilkie, you're nodding your head. Go for it.
Yeah, I think Kemp will come straight in on the left-hand side instead of Satoru. I don't really see any other changes because we say you can't change a winning team, but I think that will be the only change. And I think there will be an early sub with Freeman coming on, depending on how the game goes. I think he'll be the first sub, depending on how Sissy plays.
Would anyone start Kibrianu? No, not yet. Not at this moment in time, no. I thought he did well when he came on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think I can start him at the moment, but I think Glenn's got it right. I think Dan Kemp comes in and Cisse may be a change.
Cisse may be a change.
We're not putting Freeman in?
Apparently not. Apparently we're not starting him. Barry, would you start him then?
Yeah. 100%. Sorry, Barry G. Yeah,
no, Freeman in.
Who do you bring him in for?
Okay, so I'm going to bring him in for Cisse. I'm sorry.
Are you playing Craig Clay in that holding role then?
Yes.
Okay. Clay. Steve Tong?
I like Cisse. We've got a good squad, right? But I'm saying you don't bring in a championship player, right, who has played in League One and got promotion from that, and he sits on the bench.
Okay.
Equally, you don't change a winning team. So I think Glenn's called it right. I think that's definitely because he didn't shine. So I think Kemp coming in, and I think you're right again, Glenn. That he will see that lad without a doubt. He'll be on that pitch, Freeman, before long. But I you don't change a winning team.
Start with the team that they finished with because they're the ones that won it.
There you go. Okay. All right. Okay, well, that's it from everybody. Thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed the show and we shall pass back to Andy in the studio.
Well, delighted that we've got Trevor Singfield on the end of the line. How are you, Trev?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, Andy. Yourself?
Yeah, we're getting there, mate. These things are sent to try us, aren't they? We're making shows as and when and how we can. Now, you listen to the recording from Billy and the guys. Your views on things, and in particular, first of all, let's just start last weekend with a hard-fought victory in a match that an Orient of old would have probably lost.
Yeah, very true. They may have lost it. Yeah, it was a tough watch in the first half, defence against attack. Morecambe had a couple of chances on the break, which was obviously their game plan. I thought Ross was very assertive by hooking Cisse off. He was more of a disruptor than a playmaker, and bringing Hector on in the 57th minute. I actually said to my son at half-time that would be the sort of call. And the hard work in the end paid off. A little bit fortunate, maybe an own goal, but one of my bugbears with the Orient is we don't put crosses in quickly enough and even take a punt on it sometimes of whipping the ball in. And
well, it was a pressure ball, wasn't it, Trevor? It was a pressure ball. When he had to play at the guy, he had to jump for it, he had to go for it.
From an unlikely source of Anacola as well, whipping one in. But I just think if you put the ball in the box in a lot of situations, we all create good chances for the knockdowns, especially when the DJ's playing as well.
Well, that's one of the things I was going to say to you. The improvement we've seen is you've got someone who's sniffing, who's instinctive, and he's there for the rebounds, and he's there. He's always, you know, looking for that to happen. And so many times we've seen a slow reaction from Orient players, be it up front or at the back, and they're the last to react. Now we've got players who are the first to react, which is good to see, isn't it?
Yeah, and then Angola's got his goal at the end, which will do his confidence a bit of good. I mean, he takes a bit of stick from some of the fan base, but like I said in the last week's show, you take him out of these positions, they're there to do a job for the team, and he does do a job for the team. All right, he's not getting the glory at the moment, but it was a nice finish, quick bang in, and 2-0, well pleased.
Yeah, and in a confidence game, of course, Trev, I mean, it's such an important thing for a player like Angola to grab that goal, and psychologically, that could be a massive boost for him.
Yeah, especially because he's down the middle in his preferred position, and we don't know the extent of DJ's injury. It's anything from sort of 10 days to 20 days, what we're hearing, but that's for the club to decide when they give out the information, isn't it?
Well, to be fair, Trev, I mean, I can't remember a season when players go a whole season without getting a knock and a don't miss a game or two. I mean, it's very rare for a player to get through unscathed. So you have to expect to have, you know, two, three matches maybe without somebody like Johnson up front. I mean, this is why Ross is building the side. And what do you think of the additions that he's brought in on the transfer window?
Yeah, Dan Kemp, I think the transfer committee under Martin Link have absolutely pulled a blinder there and given him a nice 2.5-year contract. I like that. He's definitely got potential going forward. I like players, young players on decent contracts. The clips we see of him, what we all got to see, and seeing him first time live yet, he's definitely come on and he was driving forward. He will probably start in that left side on Saturday, I would suggest, with Brophy being put back to left back. But yeah, it definitely showed a lot more than Rule did, and yeah, got something about him, and I'm going to look forward to watching him because I like players like that. Some people say maybe a bit lightweight, but look, when we're getting the ball out wide, he may take a little bit of stick. He's not going to be roughing it up with Craig Clay in the middle, let's say that way.
No, and the players out, you know, Wright and JMD, that seems to me to be a pretty reasonable bit of business from Ross.
Yeah, definitely. I comment on Wright. Good luck to him. JMD, I was a fan of his. It's just not happened for him. He's sort of become a bit of a bring him on and he can stick one in the top corner and he's like more of an impact sub, which is a shame. Never nailed down 3 or 4 games on the spin and allegedly maybe a little bit down in the dumps and sulking around the training ground. And I think our camp is a good camp at the moment. We're in a good position. 7th, and I don't think Ross would want anybody spoiling that with little tantrums here and there. So yeah, he's probably been loaned out for his own purpose. Good luck to him. I mean, he has got so much talent, but just it's never worked out. It's a shame.
No, it hasn't. Just very quickly, Trevor, your man of the season so far.
In a word, it's the keeper. You build from the back and he is absolutely fantastic. And yeah, he's been the man of the season. Point blank saves, kept us in games. And at the end of the day, the keeper wins just as many points as the DJ if he keeps them out.
Thanks, Trevor, very much for joining us. And Lee Boyce should be on the end of the line. Lee.
Hello, Andy.
All right, mate. Right, we'll keep it brief because we're running short of time on the show tonight. But let's just do the same questions as we asked Trevor, really. Back on last Saturday, your view of last Saturday's match?
I was pleased with it. I thought it was a performance from a team that is pushing for promotion. It was hard work, persistence, patience. It just kept going. I mean, I know they had a couple of chances that they could have took the lead, but that's going to happen anyway. But I love the way we just kept going till the end and 2-0, and I thought that was a deserved 2-0.
Yeah, and we said, Trevor was saying, you know, it was an own goal, but it was a forced own goal, if you like. The pressure, the ball was a good ball in. It had to be played, didn't it?
Well, I mean, I think there was a couple of our players coming in behind him. It was a fantastic ball by Tunji, and he made the defender make a decision. So, yeah, I mean, you can't ask them about that. When the luck's going for you, then they end up in the back of the net.
That's absolutely right. Now, we've had a bit of a transfer market activity from Orient, a couple in, a couple out. Your views on those?
Very, very happy. More happy the fact that we're getting these sort of players in, and they're saying they want to come in to play for Ross. I think that's a statement in itself, that he's building his own squad for the future. But Dan Kemp, yeah, I think Ross is the right person for him, plays the right style of football for Dan Kemp. He's a very like sort of creative player, and that's how Ross wants to play football. And the other fella, experience, brings a lot of experience. So, yeah, you can't complain about them too. Certainly improving the squad.
And the right two out the door, if you pardon the pun?
Again, very happy. It isn't working out for them. I mean, Jordan Maguire-Drew, I mean, there's no doubt in his talent. I personally thought he's one of the most talented players in the league, and we'd be building a team around him. But I think someone else said it's a... He's on his 6th club now, and he's only, early 20s. So there's something not going right for Jordan personally, but you know, he's a fantastic player there. And as for Josh Wright, yeah, he's not in the squad. He's a big earner, so it's the right move for the club.
All right. Well, thanks, Lee, for your quick views. I'm sorry it's a short one this week, and we'll speak again soon.
Lovely. Speak to you soon, mate.
Cheers, mate. Well, we're running out of time, folks. Thanks for listening. And get well soon, Julian Linton. Get well soon, Simon Feldman. Thanks to Bill and to Karen for their production tonight. We'll catch you next week. Get your streaming passes in, ready for Saturday.